So if we have a Google Doc and if I put anything in the Google Doc and you're part of that Google Doc group, you automatically see what I write.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome back. Today's guest I've got joining us from Toronto, Canada, Amir Rosick in the house. Amir, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Let's rock and roll up.
Awesome. So Amir is a serial entrepreneur, marketing expert, investor, blockchain evangelist, and is the CEO of Block Geeks, Inc. He's also a speaker. He's spoken about blockchain at Mars and Western University. You're a blogger in the blockchain field, and you've appeared on a lot of sites like VentureBeat, HuffPost, NextWeb, and several others. And more than anything, your perspective to development, to technology, and also the reality of what's happening in the realm of crypto and blockchain is why I wanted to have you on the summit. So Amir, welcome. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Thanks for the intro. You got it correct where I think right now in the space, the problem is there's a lot of hype. This happens with any new technology, new ecosystem or vertical. And there's a lot of companies and people and a lot of funds are coming out there and everyone's promising that this technology can do X, which it can maybe, but we're a very, very long way away from this technology doing X. So we're in this fairy tale, let's say, time where no matter what you do, you can raise money through ICOs, and majority ICOs, the systems that they create in the token or crypto economics or token economics that they are designing are completely flawed. That's not to say ICOs are bad. I think ICOs are revolutionary. And through our own self-regulating system, we will figure out ways that ICOs actually make sense. And it's a win-win relationship for both the founders and investors of an ecosystem. But that being said, right now, it is the Wild Wild West in space. People are losing money every day from hacks to just not practicing proper security protocols. People don't even know what they're investing in. They're following something called FOMOnomics, fear of missing out economics. And people are just throwing money against the wall and hoping something sticks. And so it's funny to see how, you know, I talk to, because I'm part of a bunch of different funds myself, it's funny to see how we have institutional investors coming in and they're asking your opinion for certain funds. And I'm like, but guys, you guys are professionals. You understand that, you know, when you invest in something, either you have control or you have ownership or you have voting rights or you have IP rights or you have some dividends. There's some governing systems in place that you as an investor have some say into it. But when you come to ICOs right now, it's like, okay, I'm going to invest in an ICO that does some magical things in your ecosystem where technology still needs 4 or 5 years to mature, where I have no equity, where I have no dividends, where I have no nothing, and there's no roadmap, and there's no market cap, there's no accountability, and you live halfway around the world, I never met you, but here's my money. To me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Completely crazy. But the reason why ICOs are successful is because you got to ask yourself this question then, who's actually investing in these things? And it's speculators. As a big talk in Singapore, Blockshow Asia, I don't know, 2 months ago, actually November, it's a little bit more. And I don't know, a couple hundred people in the audience. And I asked them like, okay, who has invested in ICOs? And everybody raised their hand. And then I asked them, well, who actually uses a token on a day-to-day basis? 3 people kept their hand up out of hundreds of people. So you got to ask yourself the question, who's investing in these ICOs? Speculators. They're not investing as in like, oh, I'm going to go wake up and use this token on a day-to-day basis because I love this ecosystem. It's like, no, I'm investing so I can get arbitrage and so I can liquidate. And you can see it in the ICO prices. When people invest within the first week, majority, not all of them, but I would say majority of the ICOs drop subpar 80% from the actual ICO release date. So let's say your ICO came out and the market cap was, I don't know, 10 million. Then 2-3 weeks later, it's down to 2 million, right? So it's a pump and dump. Yeah. Because the people who are investing in this, they're whale groups, they're investor groups that understand what they're doing. The exchanges are in on it. Majority of these exchanges actually will not list you unless they have a large holding of your token. They're unregulated exchanges. But, you know, is this necessary? I think it's part of any evolutionary process of any ecosystem. And I'm a firm believer in self-regulation as opposed to people putting in a sandbox. Like people trying to do now like security tokens where they try to govern all the rules and you have to play by our old rules. Innovation, regulation stifles innovation. But my warning to most people is ICOs are new. This technology is new. We have a very, very long way to go. Scaling solutions is going to take a couple of years. Ethereum needs to launch proof of stake. That's going to take a while. Lightning Network needs to launch with SegWit. That's going to take a while. Even EOS coming out with their delegated proof of stake, which there's some issues. That's going to take a while. Haskell with Cardano, NEO, Quantum. They're all going to take a while before we figure out the scaling solution for millions and millions of users on a day-to-day basis. And so I just like to put an emphasis on people investing in this space is everything's still experiment. Invest what you can completely lose, maybe 1% of your total net worth. And don't be greedy. And like any good principles, look at the team, look at the technology, look at the problem they're solving, and support the humans behind this as opposed to the technology.
Yeah, that's such good advice in so many different ways. And you know, I'm curious, I want to share a little, go into that a little bit more. But before we do, tell us how you got into the space. And for those that maybe aren't even familiar with BlockGeeks, like what is BlockGeeks? What is it serving? Give us just a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, well, I'm from Toronto, so I don't want to sound like pompous, but I think we have one of the strongest communities in the world here in Toronto. Strong Bitcoin community over here, strong Hyperledger community, massive Ethereum community because Vitalik's from here. His father's my business partner. So we have a huge, huge blockchain. I would say, if not one of the top blockchain cities in the world and growing, and I'll make sure of that because we are, because I'm part of that process. And that leads to blocking. So I got into cryptocurrency or blockchain space about 3.5 years ago. My background as a serial entrepreneur building from e-commerce companies, a bunch of different online companies. A bunch of my friends hooked me up with different people in Toronto who had Bitcoin companies. I helped them with marketing and I already knew about Bitcoin, but I went down the rabbit hole with them. I spent about a year and a half in the space just helping in marketing and branding. I know Dimitri from before, so that's Vitalik's father. And I saw the need in the space for education and I'm big on education. So on a handshake deal, we started making BlockGeeks. And then halfway through, we realized there's no education for developers. So we switched gears, continued training regular people like our free guides, which are doing great. We're doing about 3.5 to 4 million visitors a month on BlockGeeks. We're one of the world's, actually Alexa ranks us one of the top 10,000 websites in the world right now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so basically what BlockGeeks does right now is we train all the blockchain developers online. We're agnostic, meaning we don't just focus on Ethereum. We focus on Bitcoin, we're going to focus on EOS, we're going to focus on NEO, focus on Quantum, help the whole space grow up. And also on the back end, what BlockGeeks is doing right now is we're opening up the world's biggest marketplace for bounty. So we'll help companies get the tools and APIs and anything that needs to be built on top of their ecosystem, we can help them out with. And we give them the option of paying in their own token on our platform. And now we give students jobs to fulfill those orders.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds like it's really been quite an evolution over the last, you know, 3.5+ years since it started.
Yeah. 3.5 years in the space roughly. And BlockGeeks only been around a year and like 4 or 5 months. So a year and a half.
Yeah. And from your perspective, you know, a lot of people coming into the space are, you know, 6 months in, a year in, maybe some that are listening to the summit, maybe this is the first time they've really, you know, invested some time into being in this conversation. So from the history perspective, what have you seen, just like a chronology, like what trends have you noticed? What have you seen versus where we are now in this moment?
So the reality of the technology is I hate making this comparison, but people like comparisons and they can picture it. It's like a schema, right? They can picture in their head. We are around the Netscape time. Like if you're comparing internet, but it's different. It's hard to compare, but it's something that people can relate to. We have years to go to figure out the evolution of this, of blockchains, because it's not like code where you and I can just ship code, like it broke. We have, it's a decentralized code. It's holding billions of dollars. There's nobody in charge. It has to be consensus. You have all these different characters from exchanges to wallets to miners to users, right? So there's all these different variables that have to coordinate and communicate with each other so an ecosystem or a network can evolve, right? So, you know, we are in the very early stages. And right now, I just think a lot of the Wall Street and a lot of the people who see the opportunity for making money, they are... let me rephrase it. I think what Vitalik said, he said it best. The money is outpacing the academia in the space. Yeah. So the money's flowing in and be like, hey, let's just throw it in there. When in reality, we're here. This is what the technology can do. And the technology can only solve certain problems that make sense. A lot of people are trying to take blockchain and shove it down their business or blockchain something like a band-aid. Oh, our new company's blockchain. It does blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you realize that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Majority of the time, blockchains, they disable your business. They don't enable your business. Blockchains are slow, clunky. They can't store data. If you're using open source blockchain, it's horrible if you have private information you don't want people to share. There's certain use cases that blockchains are amazing. And a lot of use cases are right now in payment channels where what blockchain does, it eliminates middlemen, right? So if you look at payment systems where you have a bank or processing mechanisms in the middle where they are the gatekeepers of saying, yes, this transaction can go through, no, this transaction cannot go through, et cetera, blockchains disable all third-party people and eliminates them to create a peer-to-peer sharing system or an economy, right? In a commerce economy from one person to the next. And a lot of times people are coming in and like, well, I'm going to blockchain my e-commerce store because it's a cool thing to do. Or I'm going to make a blockchain. The other day I saw a blockchain for dentists. I'm like, what the fuck is blockchain for dentists? What is this? I have no idea. Me as an entrepreneur, I'm like, cool, go do what you want to do. More people doing things will figure out, you know, create an equilibrium. But I just think a lot of people really don't know what they're talking about and they're trying to cash in and they just can't raise money. Traditionally speaking, like they went to investors and like, hey, I need a seed round of $500,000. And the investor looked at them like, I have no idea what you're doing or what you're trying to solve. You're not getting a penny from me. But then they say, oh, blockchain, ICO. And they raise $5 million because everyone thinks, you know, that's the next Bitcoin or something like that. So I just think there's a lot of hype and like 99% of people don't know what they're talking about. And the people that do know what they're talking about, they're out there working on the tough problems. And that's why you don't hear, you know, you don't hear most of the time about them because they're actually working on the big problems and they're going to be here for the next 10 years. They're not here for the quick dollar.
Yeah, totally. And part of the desire for the summit was to really have a non-hype, you know, honest, real conversation about what's actually happening in the space, since there is so much, you know, hype that is happening. And where do you feel like most people, like, what's the number one thing that you think most people don't get about blockchain and get about the space right now? Like, what do you think is the thing that's most misunderstood?
Well, one, people try to label blockchain as the same thing, like the Bitcoin blockchain and Ethereum. Different from Neo, different from Quantum, different from Monero, different from EOS. They're completely different, have different consensus mechanisms, different rules. So it's really imperative to understand these different blockchains. Number two, when you're investing in a token, you're not just investing in equity because there is no equity. You're investing in something called token economics or crypto economics, which is very difficult to understand. And we're in still a learning progress to figure out what it is. It's a combination of game theory, combination of cryptography and mathematics, and a combination of human incentive models and psychology, putting that all together to figure out how to create a new incentivized system that makes sense, both from the emotional psychological aspect and from a security aspect. And so it's very difficult. And so right now, I think a lot of people just don't understand any of this stuff. And it's very few people out there that are experts, like crypto economics. I don't know, 15 people are experts at that in the world, 15, 20 people at the most. Legitimate full stack blockchain engineers, like full stack, to know what the fuck they're talking about, 600 at the most, if that. And yet we've raised more than $3 billion in ICO. And there's a shortage of talent like crazy. That's why BlockGeeks, you know, we are filling in that void of talent. But that's where we are right now. And, you know, it's tough. It's like, listen, like other people are coming in and they obviously hear about it and it's getting promoted everywhere and they're trying to figure out how to get inside. I just tell people, don't rush into anything. Talk to people in the space. I'm a firm believer in Ray Dalio's system of triangulating your opinion. So here's your opinion of what you want to do. Find the antagonist or the devil's advocate to poke holes into it. And then find somebody who's a neutral third party or a fourth party who's neutral. And the more people that poke holes at your idea, you can find a commonality among these ideas or opinions that were shared. And based on the commonality, you can say, well, statistically speaking, that should be more or less the correct answer or my decision I take, which direction I want to go in the future. The problem is today is most people, they won't spend, and listen, this isn't just this industry, this is everything, right? Most people just read the headline, right? They're like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. I have an opinion. I'm like, I don't think so. So I tell people to dive in deep. You know, it took me like a year and a half before I had my light bulb moment. Like, oh shit, I actually get it now. It wasn't like I read it the first time. Like I'm fucking Einstein. I'm a genius. It's like I kept on reading it, kept on talking to people, read, talk. And then finally, boom, light bulb came. I go, okay, I get it now. I actually get it. Yeah. So that's my advice to people. Don't just jump into it. Just study, read, learn, talk to people, and slowly use your own cognition to figure out how does this technology, if it does, benefit you and your business or you personally, and how can you utilize it?
Yeah, that's such good advice. And you know, I like that you talked about a year and a half of this, like learn, talk, assimilate, integrate, learn, talk, that whole pattern. And I think that's the number one thing I see happening with people is that there isn't a true comprehension of what is happening. And to be honest, it took me a while as well to kind of get it. And I still won't say that I'm an expert by any means on the subject matter, but that it's almost like it can be thick, especially for someone that isn't into finances, that doesn't get much about technology, that historically didn't get these concepts. And I'm wondering if you're able to explain it, and this is a big question because it's a big system, sure. But if there's a simple way that when you talk about that light bulb moment, like how you relate to it or a frame you might be able to offer that could bring some simplicity to someone that might be sitting in that space.
Well, we can talk about Bitcoin because Ethereum is going to be a little bit different a year and a half of proof of stake. So Bitcoin's a proof of work network. So I hate comparison. I hate doing this, and people in the blockchain space hate me for talking about this. But it's a good mental mind frame for people to picture this in their head as you and I are talking right now. Okay. So we got Google Docs. I assume many of the listeners know what Google Docs are.
Yeah, a fair assumption.
Yeah. So if we have a Google Doc and if I put anything in the Google Doc and you're part of that Google Doc group, you automatically see what I write. And if you change anything, I automatically see it that you've changed something. And if someone else adds something or subtracts something, we automatically see everything, right? So it's a shared ledger, let's call it, shared documentation. The Bitcoin blockchain is very similar, where we have computers around the world that share the main information of the ledger. So every computer sees the final copy of the ledger. So let's say it's a Google Doc. And at any given time, if that computer makes a change or requests a change, automatically every single other computer in this network sees that as well. So everyone's holding each other accountable automatically in real time. And then you have miners. These are the big mining farms. And how they mine Bitcoin is they have huge factories with something called ASICs. It's a specific card to mine Bitcoin. And basically what it does guesswork. Literally, that's it. It tries to guess a random number that's part of the transaction block. And if you are the first miner to guess that, well, guess what? You get the reward. And then you send that through the network. And then all these other computers I'm talking about, they receive it. And they're like, oh, we're updating it based on this. And everybody else has to confirm. And then everybody's record at the exact same time gets updated. So it's a transparent, open network that everybody sees everything. That if anyone tries to change anything, everybody sees the exact same time.
Yeah. I haven't heard it broken down like a Google Doc before, and it makes a lot of sense. And in the realm of sorting through information that is out there on the whole range of topics that are there, where do you think most people are like getting hooked in, or where do you think the pitfall is? Or here's another way to ask the question, is how do you sort through all the hype? How do you actually sort through the information? And is there a way to do it where you actually, you know, can be educating while these headlines, and it feels kind of like a mess out there?
Yeah. I look at people who've been in the space for more than 1 year. That's a place to start. A lot of people just jumping in the last 6 months. If you do like a project, for example, if you do like an ICO, one of the things I always recommend people is go to GitHub and see the last time they updated their code. And if the code is not open source, run away. The code should be up open source for a token. So I always look at the GitHub. I go to Reddit communities to see how their community is. I'll actually email the founders, or I'll fly in to see the founders. But like anything, like if you are actually interested in investing something, and I'm not giving anyone investment advice, but do your due diligence, look at the code. And I'm not saying look at the code as in like study the code. I mean, just look at it if it's been updated. Like when's the last time someone submitted something on GitHub? That's all you got to look at the dates. Go to Reddit and email the founders. If the founders don't want to talk to you, that's a big red flag. The founders should be part of the community. They should be answering your questions, especially if they're asking money from you. and just spend your time. Just really take it easy and spend your time and ask yourself, does this make sense?
Yeah.
And that's if you want to take your own risk. My other advice for actual business owners who are interested in this, 99% of the time you don't need a blockchain. It makes no sense for your business. But if you are the 1% that does make sense, talk to legitimate companies out there who specialize in this. Don't try to do it yourself. Whether that is contacting us, whether that is contacting somebody in your city, but take your time and get multiple opinions. Like anything, multiple opinions. So if you do talk to us, I highly recommend talk to somebody else, right? It's not like one person will give you, you know, the holy grail answer. Everyone has their own biased opinion, but talk to multiple people. And once again, that goes back to Ray Dalio's principles of triangulating your idea. And once you let's say once you feel comfortable enough by collecting enough data from these different people, then you can make your proper decision.
Yeah. Awesome advice. So let's talk about security and
yes.
privacy for a moment.
Yes.
Share your thoughts about that and in relation to the space.
Well, it's a mind trick or a mind trap, because people have a difficult time understanding what are private keys and public keys, and people have a difficult time understanding that there's no way to recover them, and that's why roughly they say 5 to even 10%. Well, roughly, like they don't know exactly, but around 5 to 10% of the Bitcoins are completely gone forever because people have lost it or lost their private keys or seed phrase mnemonics. So basically, the security is a big issue. My recommendation is understand what private and public keys are and understand what a seed phrase is, a mnemonic. Never, ever keep your money in exchanges, by all means. Never, ever, 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 ever keep your money in exchanges. They have your keys, they own your crypto, and they could get hacked. In fact, one of my predictions, 2018, is one of the major exchanges do get hacked, if not hacked, insolvent due to issues on the back end. And so basically my advice is buy something like a Ledger Nano S or Trezor, any of these hard wallets. I don't have mine on me, but like a cold storage wallet. And any crypto that you buy, keep it on this USB key. And what's great about the USB key, you can back it up with a seed phrase. So it'll pump out a 24-word seed phrase. And you better write that down because it's only produced once. Laminate that, keep it safe, divide it in two, make a copy, put it in your safety deposit box or give it to somebody you trust. Or how I did it is I do 12-12 and I laminate it and I give it to two people that I personally trust. And they don't know each other kind of deals. And so they have to come together to get the thing back. kind of like a multi-sig wallet. But that's my advice for people. And if you do buy these devices, such as a Trezor or a Ledger, never buy it on Amazon. Never buy it on eBay, because there's stories of people sending you the actual hardware, but they actually give you a fake seed phrase. So you think you're backing it up, but actually they're taking your money. So always buy from the company directly. Always buy it for directly. So my advice is that's it. Never keep anything online. Don't keep nothing on your cell phone. Keep it offline. Keep it on a USB stick and you'll be safe.
Yeah. Awesome. Quick follow-up question on the realm of safety and privacy. A lot of people are doing, you know, some day trades, some short-term trades. A lot of people are putting money on the exchanges, you know, whether it's Binance, Bittrex, whatever it might be. What are your thoughts on that? And also in the realm of altcoins, it's a little bit more challenging to store these altcoins as it is, you know, with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and some of the others. And so how are you personally navigating that?
Well, if your token's an ERC-20 token, you can use my Ether wallet and just store it in the Ledger Nano. Same with Trezor, has that option. So any ERC-20 token can be stored on the Ledger or Trezor with my Ether wallet. It's a little bit more complicated, but you can do it. As for if you're a trader or speculator like that, hey, that's a risk you take. You got to go on exchanges.
Yeah. What do you think the difference is between the speculators and the traders? Because I've heard you use that word a few times and it feels potent.
If you're a trader, you're a trader, right? You're doing arbitrage on a day-to-day basis. The different types of traders, right? You can have geo traders, right? So they're trading on country to country. You can have exchange traders where they're doing exchange and soon to be margin exchanges too. And then you have day-to-day traders, kind of like Forex. So they're always looking at the arbitrage. And then you have OTC traders. They're over-the-counter, so they're not on exchanges. So they're a bunch of different traders. Speculators, I would group speculators into short-term baskets or buckets. And most speculators in this space are short-term. So short-term would be like 3 to 4 months. They will speculate on a pre-sale for a token. They'll pay X, get a discount. Token will be listed on some or multiple exchanges, and they'll dump, see you later, onto the next.
Yeah. In the realm of those dumps, which we've heard a lot about in the marketplace, you know, what I think a lot of people don't actually realize that that's happening behind the scenes. I'd love for you to share what you're seeing, especially since you are invested in certain different groups and you've
everything is manipulated. Everything. Exchanges from front running to back end order booking, from OTC deals to minor deals, everything. There's massive pump and dump groups around the world, massive whale groups that can manipulate the price. I'll tell you something that they do a lot of times. They'll put sell orders or buy orders to scare people or to incentivize people, buy or sell their own order back, manipulate the price. Exchanges are crazy. And one of the issues in the space are decentralized exchanges. That's why I'm quite bullish on decentralized exchanges coming out, such as ZeroX, what they're working on. Lendroid is another one. I'm just going to group it as a lot of manipulation, and it's crazy.
Yeah, fair enough there. Any recommendations you have for anyone that's hearing this right now on how to navigate some of that? Anything you're doing personally?
HODL. If you believe in the project, HODL. I've been hodling for the last almost 4 years.
Yeah, awesome.
I do zero trading. I don't trade nothing. I have a couple of positions, companies and teams and projects I believe in, and that's that.
Yeah, awesome. Last question. Where do you think we're going the rest of 2018 into next year? What do you think is possible in the future?
A lot of money is coming in this year. Like I said, I think we're going to have a lot of founders be attacked by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. A lot of these foundations that were set up thought they could escape the long arm of the United States and the IRS. That's not going to happen. Not going after the foundation, they're going after you as a person. We will see the flood of security tokens, which I'm not a big fan of because it doesn't really change anything. We go back to the old system. I want a new system. I don't want to be regulated. I don't like the fact that only fucking accredited investors can invest, even though I'm an accredited investor. That means only the rich get richer. That's crazy. I don't want the rich to get richer. I want everyone to have access to everything. But I'm a firm believer in self-regulation. And there are systems like the interactive coin offering created by Vitalik and Shubit that can create a very good self-regulated token mechanism that does make sense. So 2018 will be crazy money coming in. ETFs and shorting positions are coming in, or they're already here. ETFs not here, but it's around the corner. Also, we will see a lot of more institutional money coming in. They want to hedge against Bitcoin or hedge on Bitcoin. And then we will see, I wouldn't say a slowdown of ICOs. I think we'll see more ICOs, but we won't see these crazy ICOs that we saw in 2017 doing like 50, 60, $70 million raises. We'll see more or less like a million, 2 million, 3 million. And you're already seeing it's a saturation of the market. And then 2018 also going to be a wake-up call at the end of 2018 where all the ICOs that raised money previously aren't actually delivering on the product and people realize, oh shit, what the fuck's happening? So we're going to have maybe a winter coming in at the end of 2018. And so like I said, at the end of the day, the people who are in it for the long haul, we're actually solving problems, building real businesses, and building on the technology, they will stick around.
Yeah, awesome. Such good advice. All right, rapid fire round, series of five questions to end the segment. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I'm crazy.
Question number two, do you have a morning routine? And if so, what does it look like?
Yeah, I wake up super early. I do some mobility. Sometimes I journal, sometimes I do poetry, depending on how I feel. I have an infrared red light. I stare at that for a little bit with my Lux, 10,000 Lux box during the wintertime. I have a coffee. If not, I have a coffee, I'll have a big fat breakfast and then I'm out the door.
Awesome. Next question. What is one resource or one practice that you use and do regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
Walking.
Awesome. Next question. If one people were to know a fact about you that they would be surprised to know, what would that fact be?
Surprised to know? That I do poetry?
Nice. He's an artist. Last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
Make your own rules.
Yeah. Love that. Amir, everybody. Amir, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners tuning into the summit.
Yeah, so our special giveaway today is if you are a developer and you really want to learn about this space and give yourself the skills to code and build blockchains and work on Ethereum and other projects, we're giving away a lifetime subscription for one lucky winner. And so I'm quite excited about this and happy to see how we can help your career and to expand your knowledge on this.
So generous. Amir, thank you for that. And Amir, for those that want to learn more about BlockGeeks as a whole, you know, from the education standpoint, but also the development standpoint, what's the best way to do that and best way to stay in touch?
Go to BlockGeeks, so blockgeeks.com. And if you want to personally email me, it's Amir with two E's at blockgeeks.com.
Awesome. Everyone, I've gotten a bunch of great notes. Amir, thank you again for taking the time to chat with us. And we have got some more awesome content coming at you guys shortly. Thanks so much, Amir.
Thank you.